Here in America, a group of Muslim activists wants to counter the notion that moderates in the West are happy to sit quiet as major attacks by Islamic extremists disrupt mixed communities in Paris and San Bernardino. Can moderate Muslims step up to counter the messages of hate espoused by extreme fundamentalists? A group of American Muslims recently announced the creation of a new initiative to do just that. It's called the Muslim Reform Movement. Journalist and activist Asra Nomani is the group's co-founder. Nomani has long been fighting for what she calls a more inclusive Islam. Her early efforts at her hometown mosque in West Virginia are documented in the latest America Reframed series, which begins tonight airing on the World Channel, co-produced by our partner WGBH. Nomani's film is called The Mosque in Morgantown. Nomani says that the second-class status of women in mosques here in the United States can be traced to Saudi Arabia's export of its extremist interpretation of Islam.
Two out of three mosques in America separate and segregate women in conditions that are very much separate and unequal. And unfortunately, those barriers are a metaphor for the barriers that they then have with our wider American Muslim community, according to research that's been done on those mosque cultures. And so what we find then is that the mosques become symbolic outposts from this amazing, rich, diverse, beautiful country that we've got here in America. And they do not practice this philosophy that I think is so critical of open hearts and open minds and open doors.
What do you make of criticism like you received from Hazem Bhatta, who is a member of the mosque, who said your loud speech actually causes progress to go in the other direction?
Had she gone about this in the right way, had she gotten the support of the moderate people such as myself, we could have made 10 years progress in 10 months' time. But the way she did it, there was no benefit, and it made everyone look bad.
I have to laugh because Hazem Bhatta said that to me in 2003 when we first went in through the front door and I first wrote about these issues of gender apartheid in our mosques. It is 2016 now. Hazem Bhatta has risen to the highest levels of American Muslim leadership as a leader in the Islamic Society of North America. Guess what? Last year, they put forward a mission statement to make mosques women-friendly. And you know what? I did a tour of mosques here in the Northern Virginia area over the last several weeks, and this is what I got. I got to watch a sermon through a closed-circuit TV. I had to sit behind a curtain where I couldn't look at the prayer leader. I was sent upstairs and put into this darkened space where we couldn't even hear the prayer service appropriately. The conditions of women in mosques in the United States are still second class, and if African Americans were treated this way in any churches in this country, people would be outraged.
Why are the Saudis so persuasive in Muslim communities in the United States with a message that seems so at odds with the kinds of pluralism that America is known for? Is it Saudi's money? Is it something persuasive about the message? And why are sexual segregation issues a symbol of piety, that if you go along with this, then you must be, you know, a true Muslim, whereas if you don't, there's no possibility that you could be?
Yeah, John, it's a great question that you're asking because it requires us to really peel back the layers on the dynamic that we're confronting today. And we have to do that in order to really understand how to fix the problem. Saudi Arabia has money. It has ideological influence. It claims that it is the custodians of the two holiest mosques in the Muslim world, in Mecca and Medina. So it has this sort of spiritual leverage that it exerts upon Muslims. Every Muslim is required, according to the edicts of Islam, to go on a pilgrimage to Mecca. And guess who controls that visa application? The government of Saudi Arabia. So that has a lot of moral sway among Muslims. And that's why last year, when thousands of Muslims were killed in this stampede that has been just the latest of many irresponsibilities by the government of Saudi Arabia on how it conducts the Hajj, I wrote a petition on change.org to boycott the Hajj. you know, we have to boycott the government of Saudi Arabia and its ideological persuasion among Muslims. It has been a 40-year exportation of the Saudi interpretation called Wahhabism or Salafism that has led to the creation of militant organizations from Al-Qaeda to the Islamic State. We have to be really honest and clear about that. America, unfortunately, has this a relationship with the government of Saudi Arabia, seeing it as a, quote, partner and ally in the war against terrorism. But it is very difficult to turn to Dr. Frankenstein to kill the monster when Dr. Frankenstein is still feeding the monster. And that is the situation that we're in today. And we have to really be very honest about it and stand up with moral courage against this kind of influence so that we can have a world of peace and human rights and secular governance.
That's a pretty provocative statement. Are you calling on all Muslims to boycott the Hajj?
Absolutely. And I would say to them that they would be following in the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad, because when the Hajj was controlled by the Quraysh tribe that practiced an interpretation of life that the Prophet Muhammad opposed, he said, I will not go on the Hajj as long as it is a land that is being protected by people who practice jahiliyyah, which is ignorance. And I would argue that indeed the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is practicing jahiliyyah. Who in their right mind believes that it is okay to flog a blogger, Raif Badawi, because of what he wrote? Who in their right mind thinks that it's okay to imprison a poet, Ashraf Fayyad, because he dares to be a romantic poet? Who in their right mind thinks that it is okay to kill gays, that it is okay to kill a maid because she refuses the advances of her Saudi boss? This is a culture of tyranny that we have to oppose, and any Muslim who believes in righteousness must oppose the government of Saudi Arabia.
Asra Nomani, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, John.
Nomani is co-founder of the Muslim Reform Movement and the author of Standing Alone, An American Woman's Struggle for the Soul of Islam. Her film, The Mosque in Morgantown, is part of a series of documentaries that debuts on the World Channel tonight.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.